Bro, how we doing?
Well, how are you?
Good, good.
So, if I can start it off today,
Yeah, you
talking about Brandon LaFell yesterday was talking about the fact that when you're showing film of an opponent, you never show any of the bad plays, especially this week. Just wondering what your thinking is when you're showing film of the opponent. Do you like to show plays that can hurt you if you're not prepared?
Well, I wouldn't agree with that statement. You should ask Brandon LaFell if I've ever shown
We will.
any of our opponents missing a tackle. Just ask him that. You know, we show plays that are relevant, whatever they are. There's good plays. There's things that we think we could take advantage of. So, I mean, whoever we play, each team has strengths and weaknesses. Each player has strengths and weaknesses. Try to identify those and give examples of how they could come up in the game or will come up in the game. Some of them are absolutely going to come up. Other things are situational, and maybe they'll happen, maybe they won't, but you have to be prepared for them.
I guess along those lines, the purpose of showing film is to show what you can do successfully, not so much what they do, right? I mean,
No, I think it's, look, you got to talk stop the other team's strengths. I mean, you just I don't think you want to let another team that does something well just do that. You know, you take their strength away and then see if they can do something else, beat you some other way. So I think that's, you know, you understand what their strengths are and how to defend them, and you understand what you think their weaknesses are or the weaknesses as you match up against that team. It might not be a weakness against somebody else. It might just be a weakness against you and how you're going to attack that. So it's both.
I guess I'll follow up.
I think we got room for you
here. On this side.
Yeah, okay. It bounced off the room a little bit. It's like the wedding where the groom has nobody there.
In preparing a quarterback, preparing for the two quarterbacks, I know you touched on this a little bit on Wednesday. You split up evenly the reps for Jimmy as the scout team, or how does that usually work? When you have a situation where there could be some doubt going into a week where quarterback is coming back or whatnot, how do you go about splitting reps?
Talking about if our
Your scout quarterback, Jimmy playing like the scout quarterback, and he was saying yesterday how, you know, there have been a couple of times this week where I've had to really know both quarterbacks and rep both quarterbacks as a scout quarterback in practice. What that process is like, divvying up that time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really follow that. And I'm not sure I really understand what Jimmy said, so I'd have to ask him about that. So, are you talking about the context of Bradford and Sanchez? Or are you
Yes,
talking about the
and
context
splitting up
of?
his time in practice, going over both of those quarterbacks, and the need basically for Jimmy to know both quarterbacks and how important that is.
I mean, I think the most important thing for the scout team quarterback is to know the offense. And then, look, our scout team quarterback may be similar to the quarterback we're facing, or he may be different. I mean, you know, you can't change physical characteristics. They are what they are. So, you know, but the characteristics of the quarterback, you know, if it's a running quarterback or if it's a quarterback who likes to throw deep or if it's a quarterback who likes to throw to a particular player in a certain situation, a tight end or whatever, then, you know, you just try to give the defense the look at that. And I think when the play is going on, you know, the quarterback has a basic set of instructions. You know, here's your read, who's you're looking for. And then depending on how much the quarterback, what kind of movement skills he has or type of movement plays they have, that might factor into it too. But I think really what, you know, what the scout team quarterback's trying to do is simulate, you know, the cadence, the overall operation, and the overall execution of the play. And that's, you know, that's really what their quarterback does. So
Seems like William and Jerron both have kind of taken a pretty
pretty major step forward this year. Do you look at the third year as kind of a critical year for the development of guys and kind of knowing what you have?
I think a lot of times you see that second year as a big jump, but it varies from player to player. I don't think there's any, timeline. And I think both those players make good jumps from their first year to the second year, too. Some of it's opportunity sometimes, given some of the players that we had here on the roster at corner last year. So some of it's opportunity, some of it's, playing and gaining confidence. And sometimes that, happens at different stages of a player's career. But I think both those guys made big jumps their first year into their second season, and I think they've continued that growth and development, both on and off the field, in terms of their training, their film study, preparation, and then just, on the field, skills, coverage skills, ball skills, so forth.
I won't ask you if Jamie's going to play on Sunday unless you want to provide an answer, but after missing so much time.
Yeah, when we put our injury report out at the end of practice, you'll have everything that we, whatever we see out there, however it goes, whatever we feel like the player status is, be right there on the injury report. Stacy, make sure they'll get a copy of that, okay? Everybody gets one. That's the way we always do it.
So after missing so much time in the practices that he's been out there, can you tell that he's got a lot of ground to make up, or is he maybe further along than you thought he would be?
I think it's the whole week's kind of a process. I think it's you got to be careful about evaluating a player based on one day or one period or a couple plays or that kind of thing. If a player comes back, he goes out there, he practices at a Wednesday tempo, whatever that is, but usually it's a pretty good tempo. Then we see how the player responds to that on Thursday. Is he better? Is he the same? Has he maybe, felt a little aggravation or irritation, or is he tired based on that? Whatever the injury is, it could be, it falls in a million different categories, and then we come back and do it again on Thursday. And sometimes, a player come in on Wednesday and, feel okay, and then Thursday, after stringing a couple of days together, not as good, or maybe better, or maybe it's kind of staying the same. Maybe he hasn't really, fully turned the corner. Hasn't gotten worse, hasn't gotten better. It's still kind of treading water there. Then sometimes Friday it takes a sudden spike, and sometimes Saturday, we've listed guys on the injury report on Saturday. Something's come up in the last 24, 48 hours before the game that, relatively unexpected. It's just, we all can, come down with something or step in a hole or whatever. So it's really a process, and so we go by what we see. So where a player is Wednesday, where he is Thursday, where he is Friday, and even occasionally the Saturday changes are all just reflective of what the player's current condition is. So how to go Wednesday, how to go Thursday, how to go Friday. I mean, it's not always a straight line of anything. It's go up and down, it goes down and up, it could be going good and then drop off, it could be going not so good, and all of a sudden Friday, go out there Wednesday and Thursday, look at the player and say, I don't think he's ready to play, I don't think he's going to be able to play this week. Then Friday, all of a sudden it just, clears up. So it's really hard to give an answer. And sometimes there is a straight line progression, but you don't know that until the end. You don't know it going along because not sure what's going to happen. I mean, I've been around long enough to see it, go both ways. So that's what you prepare for. You prepare for if the player's there, what's his role going to be? What's he going to do? Who's he going to, rotate or interact with? If he's not there, who's going to take his place? So forth. So those are all kind of the contingencies of practice. And if the player is cleared by the medical department to play, then it becomes a football decision. If the player's not cleared by the medical department to play, then there's no decision to make, and that's it. He doesn't play. But if he, just because they clear him to play, doesn't mean that a coaching decision would be made to play the player. Sometimes, just depends on, all the circumstances that go around that. So, long answer to a short question, but.
What are you seeing in the progression of Jonathan Freeman through the season now that he's getting more work too?
Yeah, you know, it's been good. Jonathan's been a smart guy. He's had, you know, a decent amount of playing experience in the league for a young player. And, you know, we asked him to do perform some different roles in the kicking game, defensively, and certainly in the passing game, which is where there's usually more multiples, there's more adjustments, there's more, you know, things that can happen, more things you have to recognize, communicate with, and so forth. So, you know, I'd say that's definitely making progress, coming along. And he works hard. He's a smart kid, and those aren't issues. So, you know, but it's still not like he's, you know, been here from day one of training camp. So there's always going to be, I would say, at least this year, you know, an element of like catching up, if you will. But he's way ahead of where he was a month ago, you know.
Playing more different positions for you than he had earlier in his career, like for the Dolphins. But, I mean, is he doing more when he's on the field?
Jonathan?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's pretty much played in every situation that we have. I don't know if he's been out there in dime, but he probably has. But most of it's, you know, our regular defense, and then, you know, our five DBs, our nickel defenses. I mean, he's on all that. He's played on the line. He's played off the line. Really, as an off-the-line linebacker, you have to be able to play both sides because they move the tight end or they change the formation. So sometimes you're on the passing strength, sometimes you're on the away from the passing strength. So he's, you know, goal line situation, and obviously all the kicking game. He's been in everything in the kicking game and, continues to have a role in the kicking game even though his defensive play time has increased. That's one of the great things about Jonathan, Chung's like that too. We have several players like that, Amendola, Edelman, offensively, even though they have roles on offense or defense, they also have significant roles in the kicking game, and they don't, you know, it's not looking to be one or the other, that they, you know, will do both when they're in there. So Jonathan definitely falls into that category. He's done a good job for us in the kicking game. You know, he's a big guy that runs well. And, you know, we all know they're hard to find, you know, on special teams. There's a lot of big guys that don't run well. There's a lot of guys that run well that aren't big, you know, but to find guys that have, you know, size and, you know, and that kind of speed, you know, like King's giving us, like Brandon Bolden gives us, like, you know, Nate, those guys, you know, that are 220 to 240-ish, 50, whatever Freeney is, you know, those guys that are the bigger guys that run well are, you know, that's what you need on special teams. So,
speaking of Chung, what improvements have you seen from him in his second stint here after leaving Philadelphia compared to when he was here before?
Yeah, you know, I've been asked that question a number of times, and really I think Patrick's been a pretty consistent player for us. I think the biggest difference is probably our scheme and what we've asked him to do in the last 2 years relative to what he did, you know, in the 4 years that he was here. But again, he's not, I think, appreciably different than what he was. You know, his skills, his attitude, his work ethic, his, you know, dependability, toughness. He's always been a good tackler. He's always been a good coverage player. You know, he runs well. You know, he's a smart guy. So, you know, I just think that his ability to play closer to the line of scrimmage, which is what he did very well in college, has just had more opportunities to do it and, you know, has been in the deep part of the field less than he was when he was here in the past. You know, we have Harmon, we have Chung, we have other guys that are, that do a good job of that. So we've been able to kind of, not that he doesn't play deep, not that they don't play up, but, I mean, on a percentage basis, you know, he's done more of that. So I think it's more a function of probably us than it is him.
In that sense, was it hard to see him go the first time around, and how difficult?
Yeah, it was. I mean, but, you know, I understood that. It didn't really, I like Pat. Pat's always been a great person to coach, you know, as a coach. He wants to do what you want him to do, and he'll work hard to do it the way you want it done. However you tell them to do it, you want inside, you want outside, you want high, you want low, you want whatever, you know, whatever flavor you want, he's going to try to mix it up and give it to you. And so you really appreciate that about a player, you know, and he's got a good skill set. He can do a lot of different things. So, you know, he's a talented player. And we talked about it, and it just didn't work out. Those first 4 years, I mean, I would say those 4 years were bad by any means, but it just probably didn't work out quite to the degree that, you know, it has the last two. And so, yeah, it was, I didn't want to see him go, but I understood it. A situation in Philadelphia was probably better for him at that time than our situation was. And then a year later, you know, after he was released, he signed a 3-year contract in Philadelphia. And then after he was released, then, you know, we followed back up on the conversation that we had when he left. And kind of like, well, you know, look, things are a little bit, you know, different here. I think there was certainly a good level of trust between the two of us. And, you know, what he told me, I believed. I think what I told him, he believed. And we were able to kind of find a better place going forward than what we had before when he was here. But to his credit, he never complained. He never, you know, I should be doing this, or why am I doing that, or why don't we do this, or why don't we do something else. I mean, that never happened one time. So that was never an issue. But just overall, schematically, I think we've been able to utilize his skills better in the last 2 years than we did in the last four. And it's not his fault. It's not our fault. We weren't trying to do anything to him. We were just trying to win games, you know. And so, but it's definitely worked out very productively for him the last two seasons.
Not just with him, but just with any player. How difficult is it to separate, you know, being you as the coach and you as more of like the GM, where you have to consider, you know, the money in those types of situations when determining to bring a player back?
I mean, they're all interrelated to me. So, I mean, I'm fortunate that I have, you know, input in really all those decisions, and I just try to do what's best for the team. That's all. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and I'm not trying to help any individual. I'm trying to help the team. So that's, my decisions are based on what's best for the team. And that's, you know, I make that clear to the team on numerous occasions, like in no uncertain terms. That's, like, my decisions are easy. They're what's best for the team. Now, that doesn't mean everybody likes them. That doesn't mean everybody thinks that they're the best for them individually or maybe even their unit. But in the end, the overall decisions are made for, you know, the overall betterment of the team. And, I mean, sure, there's maybe some that are right. There's sure plenty that are wrong. But regardless of whatever we think about them, that's the intent behind them. So, no, I don't think that's hard. I think that's easy. Frankly, I think the harder thing is to make a decision that's good for an individual player, which then really isn't the best thing for the other 52 guys. You know, so you're picking one guy to say, okay, well, we'll do this for him. Okay, so he's happy. But in the end, if you've even marginally, you know, affected the other 52, I think that's really acting irresponsibly as, you know, as a coach. I mean, I don't believe in that. So that's why I look at it.
I know you praised Kevin as one of the best tacklers on the team. You put Patrick up there, right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they're different, but, I mean, they're both good. They're both very, very dependable. And I'd say a lot of tackles that those two guys have to make are hard tackles. I mean, there's tackles, and then there's tackles. You know, it's one thing to get a guy down in a short space, one thing to get a guy down, you know, a quarterback or somebody like that who's really not, you know, a top athlete. It's another thing to tackle, you know, McCoy and Sproles and, you know, Anderson, or the receivers that get the ball, you know, the Sammy Watkinses of the world, and you know, Marshall or whoever they are, you know, Landry. I mean, those, you know, they're all different, but they're all good. Some guys are big, some guys are fast, some guys are quick, some guys are all the above. And a lot of times there's a lot of space, you know, so you not only have to actually wrap the player up and tackle him, but you have to close with leverage and you have to close the space, you know, without getting run by or getting avoided. So there's a whole element to even getting in position to tackle that comes into play spatially that a lot of times doesn't come into play on inline tackles. So there's another component there that's very difficult. But yeah, those two guys are very good tackle. I mean, I'd say probably, you know, two of the better tacklers at their positions, you know, in the league.
Bill, I was wondering if you caught the end of the Packers-Lions game last night, and if you could, just maybe some of the strategy that's involved in, you know, a Hail Mary at the end of the game like that, aside from just throwing it up.
Well, I mean, I think it's not like an overly strategic play. I mean, you know, you want to get the ball into the end zone, and you want to get people around it. So however you orchestrate that. I mean, you don't want to throw it short. You don't want to throw it out. I mean, it's got to come down, you know, and either you have a guy go up and get it, or if he can't get it, you know, if you can't out-jump their team and go out and get the ball, then you have players hopefully in the end zone so that if it's tipped, they have a chance to catch it before, you know, it hits the ground. I mean, you don't want to really catch it in the field of play, although, you know, we've seen a couple of those, I'd say, you know, luck out. The guy catches on a two and falls in just because there doesn't happen to be anybody near him. But we've also seen a few of those where, you know, a guy gets tipped and ball gets tipped and a guy gets tackled on the 1 or 2 yard line. Well, that's, you know, whether it's on the one or whether it's incomplete, it doesn't really matter at that point. So, you know, but getting, you know, trying to get the ball to somebody that has a chance to go up and get it and fight for it, and then having other people there to be able to, if you will, rebound the ball if it comes up. You know, and defensively, it's sort of the reverse of that. You've got to have somebody to go up and you don't want to get out jump for the ball and you really never get a shot at it. At the same time, you want to be able to box out or, you know, keep the other players who don't go up and jump for it from coming down with a rebound. So that's, say, in short. I mean, there's a lot of other components to the whole getting the ball off, throwing it, protection, the rush, so forth. I mean, there are other things that play into that as well. You know, it's hard to throw the ball. I mean, how far do you throw it? 70 yards? Yeah, whatever. Well, I mean, it's hard to throw a ball 70 yards. I mean, you just can't, you know, just stand back there, and there's not too many guys that can just, you know, drop back and throw it. So there's another component to, you know, have enough time, being able to create some momentum, being able to get the ball that high, you know, it's, so, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say it's just this, like, I'm not trying to brush it off like it's some simple thing. I think there's really a lot of things that go into that, doing it and also defending it. But as far as the actual, where the ball comes down, you know, you want a big guy to try to go up and get it, and you want as many other people as you can have there to try to get it if it's a live ball. At the same time, you got to be able to get it off. So, I mean, if you send everybody down there, then you just got to be able to protect with five people. And, you know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't, you know, that's another element of the play.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.